He performed in soccer stadiums around the world. He sold hundreds of millions of records. He dined with prime ministers and presidents. Girls fell in love with him. Boys fell in love with him. Everyone wanted to dance like him. He seemed otherworldly, but he was also a human being. Like most performers, he was shy and plagued with insecurities. I can't say we were great friends, but in 1991, I decided I wanted to try and get to know him better. I asked him out to dinner. I said, "My treat, I'll drive, just you and me." He agreed and showed up to my house without any bodyguards. We drove to the restaurant in my car. It was dark out, but he was still wearing sunglasses. I said, "Michael, I feel like I'm talking to a limousine. Do you think you could take off those glasses so I can see your eyes?" He paused for a moment. Then he tossed the glasses out the window, looked at me with a wink and a smile and said, "Can you see me now? Is that better?" In that moment, I could see both his vulnerability and his charm. The rest of the dinner, I was hell-bent on getting him to eat French fries, drink wine, have dessert, and say bad words. Things he never seemed to allow himself to do. Later, we went back to my house to watch a movie, and we sat on the couch like two kids. And somewhere in the middle of the film, his hand snuck over and held mine. It felt like he was looking for a friend more than a romance. And I was happy to oblige him. And in that moment, he didn't feel like a superstar. He felt like a human being. We went out a few more times together, and then for one reason or another, we fell out of touch. Then the witch hunt began. And it seemed like one negative story after the other was coming out about Michael. I felt his pain. I know what it's like to walk down the street and feel like the whole world is turned against you. I know what it's like to feel helpless and unable to defend yourself because the roar of the lynch mob is so loud that you are convinced your voice can never be heard.